Hey, nerds. We understand you. Drop those controllers. Lose the wizard hat. And ready your Cheetos. It's time for some hard-hitting talk about the movies, books, and games you love. So get ready, oh searcher of useless knowledge. It's time to step into the Geek Cave. Now, broadcasting from a top secret and totally awesome hidden base, I'm Kent Harris, and here's Darren Wright, Justin White, and Chad Savage.
And welcome to another edition of Box Office Smash Geek Cave Podcast Movies. I'm Darren.
I'm Justin.
And I'm Chad, reminding you that the national animal of Scotland is the unicorn.
Huh.
That's why I love Scotland.
Shirtosaurus clothes. 80s rad and 90s bad. Gen Z, that means dank.
Yes.
Oh, good. The sponsor haikus are back. Great.
Gamefly rents you games. Thousands at your beck and call. Try before you buy. So I spent all of my last couple of days doing that. I didn't get to go to any parties. I was not invited to. Justin, did you do anything fun?
Please welcome Michael Bublé.
Really?
Pilot party!
We could get Michael Bublé?
Why not? We had Dolly Parton earlier in the year.
Well, yeah. But Michael Bublé... Just sorry, go ahead. It's a bit. Don't look at me like that.
Welcome to Pilot Party, where I review an entire TV series based only on the first episode. Why only the first episode? Because I've recently gotten back into Pokemon, and I can't catch them all if I'm watching TV.
That is true. Oh, good.
The I'm show glad that I'm... we all have dealt with something that just makes us sigh.
The show I'm going to talk about is for mature audiences only.
Oh, boy.
While I'm going to try and keep the review all audience friendly, listener discretion is advised. Imagine the animes Aeon Flux, Fooly Cooly, and Hellsing had a baby.
Oh, no.
Then you might come close to what is Devilman Crybaby.
Oh, okay.
What?
All right.
We meet high school student Akira, and he lives with his only friend and longtime crush, Miki. He's shy and very sensitive. The show actually begins with a flashback to his childhood where he mourns the death of a stray cat he knew was going to die when he found it. Years later in high school, it is shown that he will cry whenever he sees anyone else is sad, whether they're in person or on TV, which is exactly what happened. This scene is lovingly balanced out by bouncing boobs as teenage girls run track. And comments are made as such. After track practice, Miki wanders off and ends up on the docks where she's approached by a gang led by a rapper who, frankly, needs a bit more practice. Akira shows up and attempts to help her, but is quickly outnumbered. Luckily, he is rescued by his childhood friend, Ryo. This is accomplished by him pulling out a machine gun from under his long white fur coat that he's wearing in summer. Because reasons.
Whoa, dude.
That Ryo is the same quickly. Age as Akira, but because he's very smart, he's a professor who's been living in the U.S. and has actually been on an expedition to the Amazon rainforest, where it's revealed that demons actually exist, and the world's governments are suppressing this information from its people. Planning to expose the demons, Ryo takes Akira to an underground nightclub where sex, drugs, and, in a surprise twist, techno music rule. Ryo attacks the patrons with a broken bottle, hoping to make the demons appear. It works. What happens next, I can only describe as if... You know those 80s slasher movies that relied mostly on gratuitous nudity to balance out the gratuitous violence?
Yes, I love those.
Yeah, imagine that directed by Salvador Dali.
Oh, no.
And I'm just going to leave that there.
No.
Like Melty Clock Salvador Dali or like Scat Fetish Salvador Dali?
Yes.
Oh, my. That's a lot of Salvador.
That's a lot of Dali.
Ryo gets pinned down by the demons, and Akira's will overpowers a demon who is trying to possess him, transforming him into the demon's form and allowing him to slaughter the demons. That's where the show ends.
Okay.
This was something that was transmitted from Netflix HQ through the series of tubes that is the internet and displayed itself on my TV. Now, I've seen some weird stuff in my day. I remember when MTV, in addition to playing music videos, would show weird cartoons late at night. They got nothing on this. Now for my predictions. Akira uses his newfound abilities to wage war against the evil in the world, becoming Devil Man. While Ryo is at his side providing intel, they take on hordes of devils and demons who are trying to take over the world. As the final battle for good and evil begins, I wake up from an insane nightmare I've had, apparently falling asleep in my recliner after eating a double cheeseburger with extra onions, flaming hot Cheetos, and washing it all down with an extra large strawberry and banana milkshake. Turns out that exact combination of food makes me dream of bizarre TV shows and feel like I've been on an acid trip. I give it 3 women's breasts biting the heads off of men out of 5.
Huh. So better than average.
Yeah, I mean, 3 out of 5, that's slightly better than average.
I mean, it wasn't horrible, but I still wasn't sure what I watched.
Those who have joined our Discord, if you were to try the combination of food that Justin just said, let us know how it went.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
We're not doing it.
No. Well, no, I don't need an acid trip.
No.
I needed no.
And when I say extra onions, I don't mean just a few. I mean extra onions.
Yeah.
Like, take an onion, cut it in half, and then put half of it on the burger.
Okay, like a TikTok burger, yeah.
An unreasonable amount of onion.
An unreasonable amount of onions, yes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Justin.
You're welcome.
I appreciate your sacrifice for the entertainment of the masses.
Stupid randomized show I gotta watch once a month.
Don't I know it? All right, so there are a lot of shows out there that live in the memories of TV land. Some of them are given new life, some are relegated to the dustbins of history. This segment of the show asks you about one such forgotten piece of television history and asks, should we review it? It was good then, the original's just as good now. Reboot it, the idea is sound, but we can modernize it and capture some magic. Revive it, what are these characters doing after a couple of decades of growth and development? Or refuse it? Chad. So, this one's not terribly old. Only about 15 years old for its last episode. 53 episodes is all we got. Spoiler alert, for my opinion, it was not enough. So much more to tell about the young 14-year-old hero whose accident transformed him into the supernatural crime fighter, Danny Phantom.
Yes!
Danny Phantom ran from 2004 to 2007 on Nickelodeon, followed Danny Fenton, a teenage boy that can go ghost thanks to an accident in his parents' lab. With a host of powers, invisibility, flight, ghost ray, etc., Danny fights against supernatural threats and occasionally ghost hunters as well. Most episodes focused on a particular villain and a particular character weakness that Danny had to overcome. By the end of the series, he was realizing both his potential and his purpose, indicating a show that actually allowed its characters to grow and change. Please pay attention, literally every other show on Nickelodeon. And this included not just Danny, but also his friend Sam, Tucker, his sister Jazz, even to a small degree, his villains, his nemeses, and so forth. Little more to say at this point. What do you think, guys? Review, reboot, revive, or refuse?
Revive. Bring it back. I would love some more Danny Phantom. I watched a lot of this show during its first run, and like Chad said, you know, the character growth was actually tremendous for a show, A, on Nickelodeon, and B, an animated show, period. You don't get that very often. Even today, you don't get a whole lot of character growth. in animated programs. So yeah, absolutely. Let's revive it. Let's see where Danny is. Maybe an adult Danny who still has to do the whole Phantom stuff.
I never got to watch much of it. It just, for some reason, it and I didn't cross paths very much. But what I have seen, I did enjoy. And so I'm willing to go with a revival as well, just for like a boost to go back and watch it and then see what all the fuss is about.
I want more. I was surprised it only had 53 episodes because like, so this was a show that was brand new just as I was graduating college and was while I was living in St. Louis. And so I would get done with my first year of my first semester was all evening classes. And so I would go to work in the morning. I would come home and I'd have like 3 hours before class and have supper, watch Danny Phantom.
Yes.
It's like for 3 years, I watched Danny Phantom, not realizing that I watched the entire series until yesterday when I was typing all this up.
Nice.
Yeah, so bring it back. I don't care how it's brought back, but
bring it back.
Bring it back.
Do it.
I got some trailers. I watched some trailers. You guys want to hear about some trailers?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sure. Godzilla X Kong. Haven't we settled this before, like a few times?
That's kind of what I was thinking, honestly.
The Boogeyman. Stephen King ideas, modern suspense techniques, add kids, and that's a nah from me, dog. White Bird. Hey, the sequel to Wonder that we never asked for. Let's have Helen Mirren tell us about things that happened during the Holocaust.
Ugh.
I'm sure it'll be good. I'll bet the ending's a tearjerker. Here's one for Justin. The Last Voyage of the Demeter. Expanded from a single chapter in Dracula, we'll finally get the as-yet-untold story of how Dracula got to England. Side note, I kind of want a whole bunch of the untold movies to now be spliced together to make just this epic mess of a story.
They had me until I saw the kid on the boat, and I'm like, nah, dog. I don't need to see a kid in a situation like that, because I know how this movie ends. I've read the novel. It's one of my favorites. Spoiler, they all die. Because they're stuck on a boat with Dracula.
Book club next chapter. So Diane Keaton, Candace Bergen, Mary Steenburgen, and Jane Fonda. In a definitely not teens movie doing a teen style comedy. It looks hilarious. Bunch of old women who decide to travel to Italy before one of them gets married. It is exactly as dirty as Golden Girls could have been.
Ooh.
Oh, fun fact, all of the friends from Friends are now older than the youngest Golden Girl when that premiered. The Marvels.
Thank you for being a friend.
So, see, like, I was going through an existential crisis, and then Justin snapped me out of it with the freaking...
See, you're welcome. That's what friends are for.
Oh.
It traveled down the road and back again.
Yeah.
The Marvels. I'm more excited for this film than anything else in the MCU since Shang-Chi.
Yeah, I think it looks good.
Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. It still looks good. Still looks like it should be the last one. Good news, everyone. Barbie. I cannot adequately explain why, but this movie looks awesome in so many ways.
It looks both terrible and amazing.
If it maintains the energy of its trailers to the whole show, I'm going to probably like it better than the Mario movie, which we'll talk about in a little bit.
Yeah.
Migration. Speaking of Mario movie, best follow-up to the Mario movie we could ask for? Migration. The heartwarming tale of a family of ducks going south for the winter.
Watch that be a stealth duck hunt movie.
Oh.
Yes.
Trolls band together. All right, I was doubtful of the first movie. Trolls.
Yeah.
I was worried about the second movie. Holiday special made me question all that was reasonable in the universe. All of them were pretty good. So now that there's a third, you know, full-on movie, yeah, go ahead. Blow me away.
That first Trolls movie led to probably one of the most popular reviews we've ever had on the podcast, by the way.
Crazy.
Just
I would have
know.
Thought it'd been the... I mean
the Scrooges one was is still one. Top. That's still at number one, but Trolls is very right. It's right there at number
right
two.
Right there, huh?
Yeah. Oof.
What about my Trolls 2 review?
I'll have to go back and look. All I know is that like those two are like by far the ones I get the most comments on.
Well, I mean, clearly my Trolls 2 review had as much thought and heart put into it as Chad's Trolls 1 review.
Okay, well.
You don't remember it, do you?
No.
I see. I get the picture.
We've only been doing 152 of these.
I played guitar for it. I mean, what more do you want?
Didn't you also play guitar for the Life of Brian one?
Yep.
Yes.
See, that's the one I remember.
Okay, so you're more of an acoustic guy.
I guess. Noted.
Chad, please continue. I'm sorry that my tiff with Darren has derailed your segment.
No, we're good. It's time for No Wrong Answers.
Ooh.
All right.
A quick segment that just asks you a question that... Let's go for it. With the runaway success of the Mario Brothers movie that we'll talk about in a little bit, which Nintendo property do they do next? On the assumption that this is all leading to a Smash Brothers movie.
Okay. So, you remember the very mild spoilers... the restaurant in the Brooklyn version of the movie.
Yeah.
There was a poster on the wall for Glass Joe from Punch Out. There are a couple other Punch Out references. So I'm going to go with Punch Out. We're going to get an animated boxing movie with Little Mac and Doc Lewis and Soda Popinski and probably not Mike Tyson.
I think we should.
We should.
I think Mike Tyson would be amazing.
But probably not. But yeah, I think Punch-Out's next.
Mm.
It's a good feel-good. They basically do Rocky.
I'm going to go with Star Fox.
Mm. Mm.
Oh, man. I would sell a great many things for a Star Fox movie.
Yeah. Now, I know, you know, everybody's going to say, well, why not a Zelda movie? Because that is what... kicks off the big tie-in movie.
Yeah, I liked Zelda even more than Mario, so I would love a Zelda movie. But yeah, I can see where they would do something with it being Illumination. You know, that's a little bit more comedic than Zelda normally is. So yeah, Punch-Out or Star Fox or even Kirby. I think they are working
Kirby,
on a
yes.
I think they are working on Donkey Kong. I think that is coming. I don't know if it'll be connected. I would hope so because, you know, it made sense.
Mm.
Pikmin?
Hmm?
Pikmin?
Oh, Pikmin. Yeah, I could see that. Really, Nintendo's got such this large roster that anything you throw out is a possibility.
The Miis.
Almost anything you throw out is a possibility.
I said, ultimately, I don't care so long as Jack Black voices not just Bowser, but Ganon, Ridley.
Oh, my gosh.
King Dedede.
Now, Jack Black as King Dedede absolutely works.
You know, I just want Jack Black as all of the main villains.
I'm going to get you, Kirby. Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
All right, got some reviews here. Crashing. It's a British comedy series centered around a group of friends and housemates living in an abandoned hospital as like it's a guardianship kind of system. It's full of the typical British dry humor, you know, the kind that's spelled with a U, and some cringy relationships that are the hallmarks of people seemingly too immature to be in relationships but too old to be immature. Overall, it's funny. It's only 6 episodes, so it'll only take you a shade over 2 hours to watch the whole thing. It's a B-plus kind of thing, though.
Okay.
Smokey and the Bandit. Yeah, that one. Most definitely a product of its time, and the sheriff is no longer funny in his ignorance. So, he's just outright offensive now. It's still a pretty good ride, but it's no longer a family comedy. Dungeons and Dragons. No, not the new one.
Aw.
I watched the 2000 Dungeons and Dragons. Hey, fun fact. Did you know that that's part one of a trilogy?
No.
Yeah.
Is Honor Among Thieves part two?
Nope. There was one released is 2000, like 2004 or 5. There was a second part that takes place like 100 years later. And then there is one that was released direct to like sci-fi or whatever, like another 5 or 6 years later. This is the worst movie to ever get a trilogy.
I hated that
this
movie.
Is the worst. I am absolutely convinced of it. It is brimming with 90s cliches, the worst aspects of an after-school special's acting quality, and CGI that exists only for the sake of being seen. It has a beholder in it that is a henchman. Anybody who has played D&D, you should be deeply offended by that sentence.
Yeah.
And a couple of really horrible turns with Marlon Wayans and Jeremy Irons left me sorry that I watched it. C-.
If I may interject, my spouse and I saw Honor Among Thieves.
Yeah.
Much better than the 2000s Dungeons and Dragons movie.
Paint failing to dry is a better movie. This is the movie that you have on in the little bitty itsy bitsy tiny screen as you're going through the TV guide to find something else to watch.
Honor Among Thieves, I would give a strong
B+.
This is
the movie that you put on when you want to punish somebody for doing something horrible to you.
Yeah, it's bad.
This is the movie that you just hold on to for when you finally find a nemesis. So that you can curse them with it.
Wonderful.
Next thing on the YouTube, Peter Pan Goes Wrong. All right. This is an hour-long comedy. It's the staging of Peter Pan that goes horribly awry.
Kind of like the play that goes wrong?
That's exactly it.
Okay.
The show that goes wrong, the play that goes wrong, all those things. Same company, same shtick. Peter Pan, though, with David Suchet, who played Poirot, is the narrator for it.
Gotcha.
This thing is hysterical. My child loved it enough to watch it 3 times in a week.
Oh, wow.
As soon as they learned that nobody actually got hurt in the making of it. This is a solid A. If you've got 1 hour and an internet connection that can get YouTube, Peter Pan Goes Wrong is absolutely hysterical.
Nice.
Mario Brothers movie.
Yes.
Full of fan service, a really great soundtrack, a story so simple as to leaving me kind of wanting, and a Billboard 100 charting song by Jack Black. This is one of those movies that's really, really great for the 10-year-old in all of us. It's a B+ movie, and that's not an insult. It is not. B+ movies are the ones that I go back to over and over and over again to watch. So, but I know that I'm not the only one in here that watched it. So
all of us did.
Yes.
Y'all talk to me.
Oh, Justin, you go first.
Oh, so I went with my son and I saw the trailers and I thought, okay, I want to see this. And he did too. And I'm like, okay, hopefully we'll have a good time. He and I laughed and laughed and laughed the entire way through. And there were moments where I was leaning over to going, point at the screen going, look, there's that. You know, my 10-year-old son was witnessing me devolve into a 10-year-old during this movie. And I enjoyed every frickin' minute of it.
My wife and I took our 13-year-old niece, as well as my 30-year-old sister and her husband, and everyone loved it. When the early reviews came out, I was a little concerned at first until I realized that most of those reviews were written by people who either had never played the games or just didn't understand the appeal of Mario or thought, well, the story was too simple. It's a movie about the Super Mario Brothers. It doesn't have to be complex.
No.
It doesn't have to. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. Two plumbers end up in the Mushroom Kingdom. Go from there. And that's pretty much it. Nintendo was so disappointed by the 90s Mario movie that it led to them distrusting Hollywood for 30 years. And Illumination,
rightfully so.
Rightfully so. And Illumination did so much with this one film that not only did it win Nintendo's trust back, I would imagine, but like I was getting burned out on Illumination with all the Minion stuff and all that stuff. And it was like, that's the same old shtick. I'm all in. I loved every minute of it. And so, yeah, I think that it was exactly what it needed to be for the audience it needed to cater to. And you can't really ask for better than that, especially when you're talking about a movie about friggin' Mario. Everybody loves Mario.
Oh, yeah. I overheard a coworker of mine discussing it, not with me, clearly, but discussing it. And she took her, like, 3 or 4 year old to see it, and he was bored, and she's in her 20s, so never grew up on, you know, Mario like we did, and she was kind of bored, and I'm just like, yeah, it wasn't for you. It was for me.
Well, and it's like anyone now who's in their 60s watching the Super Bowl halftime show and like not getting it.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah.
It's not for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean,
I absolutely loved it. In fact, we're sitting in the theater and they get through the mid-credit scene. And I looked and, okay, there's an after-credit scene. So, you know, I'm telling my son, we got to stay. And while we're waiting for the while we're watching the actual credits go by, I downloaded the soundtrack to the movie.
It's a great soundtrack.
It is. And then, you know, the final, you know, the end credit scene popped up, and then we went into the car, and then we listened to Peaches on the way home.
That song has no right to be as catchy as it is.
Oh, they went hard on it.
They did.
I love Jack Black, and he did not disappoint.
Jack Black, this is what happens when you have someone who has passion for a project, and you bring them in, and you get them involved. And I'll be the first to admit, Chris Pratt did a great job.
He did.
You know, I was skeptical AF, and he did a great job.
I'm starting to think that what we heard in the trailer was maybe an early take where he was either goofing around or trying out, because I didn't get that sense where he was a trying to be a Mario during the movie.
Yeah.
He was just, it was his version of Mario, and it worked.
Although I did love Charles Martinet guest starring as Jumpman. That was great.
That was a nice little touch. Apparently, the lady in the commercial who's reading from the script was voiced by the woman who voiced Peach in the cartoon.
In the Super Show, yes.
Yeah.
Tons of little nods.
Just a lot of little Easter eggs and nods, and you're just like, yes!
Way too many to count on one showing.
We gotta just see it again.
So,
yeah.
Oh, I am. First Wednesday of May.
Yeah.
Nice. So I'm getting burned out on superhero movies. Yeah. I hope that this is the new trend, video game movies. So now I have something to look forward to.
Well, I mean, they've been doing video game movies for a while. You mean good video game movies?
Yes, good video game movies. Because they haven't... Okay, so like before the Marvel Cinematic Universe took off, there were sporadic comic book movies. Some of them were good, some of them not so much. And then it's just we're inundated with it. Same with video game movies. There were some okay ones, not some okay ones. I hope this is the start of a nice long trend of good video game movies.
I still argue that Tomb Raider, the recent one, was good, and I'll fight anyone on that.
I haven't seen it.
Well, most people haven't. That's why they're not doing a sequel.
Yeah, I'm sure. So, yeah. It sounds like my B+ should be rewritten to an A-.
It's close enough.
I mean, it's...
Yeah,
it's,
A-, B+, depending on your...
We are talking to people who are like 35 to 45, primarily. You know?
They know Mario.
Like, you know it. You were there for it back when he was named Jumpman. You know? No joke. This is for you.
Do not quote to me the instruction manuals. I was there when they were written.
You know, anyone else who has watched some or played games since, you know, that are in their 20s to 30s, you're probably still going to find a lot of joy in this, especially if you got a kid that you've raised on video games.
Yeah.
That's the B+ crowd.
Yes. Yeah.
Us, we're the A-minus crowd.
Yeah.
So My last thing is I really liked how they modified Peach.
Yeah.
You know, no damsel in distress kind of thing, just waiting.
It was
kind of
necessary,
castle.
Really, though.
Huh?
It was necessary, really, though.
It was necessary, but I liked the Mario 2 little thing where her dress kind of poof and she floated for a little bit.
Well, she even does that in the new Super Mario Brothers games, which are also great.
Nice. All right. So A minus from us, B plus if you're too young or too old to appreciate it. Anybody else watch anything that they want to give some reviews to? All right,
no.
Then it's time for...
Ooh, 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 ooh.
Right. I will remember this someday. No, I won't.
And now it is time for Darren's Trivial Trivia.
All right, well, while we're riding the nostalgia kick, in the 1992 classic Batman Returns,
yes. Right.
There is a scene... This is probably going to be one of the most well-known trivia bits that I share. There's a scene in which Catwoman, played by Michelle Pfeiffer, beheads four mannequins in quick succession with her whip.
Mm-hmm.
In a behind-the-scenes featurette, we find out that Michelle Pfeiffer actually did that in one take. And I unlocked a new kink that day.
Yeah.
That's all I got.
So, yeah. Batman Returns is on my list of Christmas action films.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, Gremlins, Die Hard, Batman Returns, you know, stuff like that.
Yep.
All right. Well, let's do it. Kent?
Oh, the lights are down low. The popcorn is hot. The drinks are cold. Settle in. For the cinematic universe of Chad's Random Movie Review.
By the roll of the dice, the next movie I'll review is Dynasty Warriors.
Oh, hey, a video game movie. Yeah.
The live action ones always go great.
Yeah. Dynasty Warriors?
Dynasty Warriors. This month, however, I watched Dracula Untold, the ironically now told story of how Vlad Dracula became a vampire. In all honesty, it should have been called Dracula Recently Told, or Dracula Soon to be Told, or better yet, the opening credits named the movie as Dracula Untold, but the closing credits named the movie as Dracula, We Just Told You. I'm stalling because it wasn't that good. Back in the old days, before things were good in Wallachia, Vlad was a janissary for the Sultan in the Ottoman Empire. A right old bloodthirsty warrior, he became known as the Impaler, son of the dragon. But those were the bad old days. He was a kid, and he grew sick of the bloodletting, and when he was granted his freedom, returned to Wallachia to have a family, raise a son, and generally be a peaceful dude that still paid tribute to the Sultan. Well... One day, while out and about, Vlad finds a helmet in a stream and identifies it as belonging to an Ottoman scouting party. Well, kids, this is not good news, because scouting parties only show up in places that they're going to invade. So Vlad follows that stream up a mountain, and he finds a cave littered with human bones.
Mm.
Learning nothing from Morbius, he walks right in. With his retinue, who are almost immediately killed by some terrible humanoid beast. Vlad escapes because he's wearing silver.
Ah.
Otherwise, also, there'd be no movie.
No.
So.
Oh, that old chestnut.
So our next scene is then the Sultan. Sultan's got a dude. Sultans always have dudes.
Yeah.
This dude shows up for the usual tribute of silver. And the new requirement of, I need 1,000 boys under the age of like 10 to train to be janissaries. See, the Sultan likes using very young children because, one, it's easy to make more of them. You only need like 5 years and you can get a whole lot of them.
Mm.
And you can get them bloodthirsty real quick if you just feed them nothing but abuse and weapons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Vlad tries to change the Sultan's mind, but is unsuccessful. And now he's told that his own son now must be the 1,001st boy on the list. Rather than submitting, because that's not the way these things go, when the soldiers come to collect the son, Dracula kills them. Tells his family to lock up the castle, and he goes on a road trip slash mountain climb to receive help from the vampire in the cave. He was told it was a vampire by a monk, you know, in a scene that wasn't interesting enough to recount.
Fair.
The vampire tells Vlad, you can have some power, and if you resist drinking human blood for the next 3 days, you'll go back to being a human. Everything will be fine. But if you drink blood, then you'll become a vampire, and this whole cavey curse thing that is keeping me in here will go away, and I'll get to wander the world and be a plague on all of humanity. Well, we already know how this is going to end, so let's just skip to that. Vlad defeats the first wave of soldiers that attack his castle in a battle that is both too long and not long enough, but his sensitivity to the sun prevents him from helping much the second time. So the second time a bunch of people realize he's a monster, the monks try to kill him. It doesn't work, but it does drive him away. He tries to fight off a whole bunch of soldiers again, only for a strike force of soldiers to successfully kill a bunch of his citizens, kidnap his son, and throw his wife off a cliff.
Mm.
Well, she dies, but not before telling Vlad to drink her blood to save their son. Well, curse broken for the old dude, curse begun for the young dude.
Yep.
Vlad turns a bunch of whoever survived into vampires so that they can all go and attack the Sultan's army together.
Sure.
Sultan's eventually killed, even though he has bathed his tent in silver. There was more lens flare in this than a J.J. Abrams movie.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So just bear in mind, if for some reason you lose your mind and decide to watch this, maybe turn down the contrast around there.
Or Justin, just tell your spouse to leave the room.
So eventually he kills the Sultan with a wooden stake because irony. And then Vlad realizes that he's about to unleash a huge plague on humanity with all the vampires that he's created. So he dispels a bunch of storm clouds to burn away the vampires and almost doing himself in as well. But a guy who thinks that a vampire boss would be really keen saves him and gives Dracula some blood to save his unlife. And so we end with a stinger for a sequel that, if there is any justice in the world, will not happen. The acting is wooden, like they weren't sure how to play anyone in the movie. It's plenty artsy, but it lacks any suspense or internal pathos. I mean, if you know the ending, you have to give me a reason to enjoy the journey. This film fails to do that in any meaningful way. I liked a couple of the action scenes. The idea is sound. The execution doesn't merit any further consideration. It's just not grand enough to be epic, and it's not scary enough to be an action horror. What it is busy, simple, and forgettable. Don't be like me. With no other business, thanks to our sponsors, Shirtosaurus and Gamefly, for allowing me to write haikus for you. Check out news and reviews not on the podcast on the website geekcavepodcast.com. Join the Discord for fun conversations. Tell your friends all about where to find us, including Podbean, Apple Podcast, Amazon, GoodPod, and so forth. Don't forget to check out our other offerings, include You Want Me to Watch What and Week 3. Head over to YouTube and see Geek Cave Plays and Retromantics. For Kent Harris, our Billy Gibbons, for Darren Wright, our Frank Beard, for Justin White, our Dusty Hill, I'm Chad Savage, and I am the sharp-dressed man with the cheap sunglasses. Thanks for listening, and remember, everyone is a geek for something.